Everybody, I am here in your ear. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. We're a little late this week, day late and a dollar short. We are at the Just for Laughs Festival. I am in Montreal for the Juste Paris Festival. We are in the street having croissants and eating bagels. I can't stop talking like this here. It's strange. Montreal's this beautiful city. It's like Paris with a sprinkling of meth. That's what it's like here. You know, it's like these beautiful old buildings, architecture is beautiful, and then you turn a corner and there's a bum shaving on a office chair talking to a rat. So, you know, it's a crossroads of bougie and broke. The most fancy sounding hobos you will ever hear in your life, you know? You are bilingual and you don't have a job. You can speak two languages, but you can't hold one job. Come on, get your shit straight, Montreal. Where's Justin Trudeau? I hear his mom is cannabis friendly, and I'm trying to get over there and smoke a blunt and have a sandwich with this bitch, Margaret Trudeau. She's doing a one-woman show for the Just for Laughs Festival. I'm pumped to be here. I got Chaplin here with me. I have a week's worth of clothes for a 12-day stay, which means I'm going to have to wash my thongs in the river like some sort of thought, like some sort of street tramp, which, you know, won't be the first time, definitely won't be the last. I'm excited to be here. I'm a part of the Nasty Show, which is the longest running show in the festival, the Just for Last Festival here, which is in its 37th year. And, you know, Howie Mandel is a co-owner of this festival, and you just see everybody who's anybody in this industry, in the comedy industry. You know, I've been hanging out with Jim Jeffries, who is just a delight, a lot of fun. Hasan Minhaj is here, Wanda Sykes. I think Sarah Silverman's here this year. We've got, you know, Nicole Byer and Emma Willman and Mateo Lane and Michael Che, Big J Okerson, Dan Soder. So many comedians are here. It's so much fun. It feels like summer camp for us. We all hang out. Big J and I have just been getting high every day. I'm high right now, shocker. We've been getting high and going shopping, getting that exchange rate, which is in our favor. American dollars worth like $1.40 here, something like that. However that works, you end up, this is the place to shop. Basically, if you want to get your crack, buy it in Canada, Americans. You get more bang for your buck when you're buying blunts here. It's the first thing Jay Okerson and I did. We went to the weed shop. And then we went to Foot Locker. We got high and went to Foot Locker. And then today we got high and went to Ray-Ban. And then we went to a drugstore. We got our drugs and went to a drugstore. It's just been a delight. It really has been a delight. And it's an honor. It's a real honor to be a part of this festival. You know, I've been doing stand-up for almost 16 years. It's a long road. And that's what you realize. Once you hit a certain age, it's good to have goals. It's good to have a few goals that you're working towards in a year and in your lifetime, you know, high level goals, high tasks, things that are, you know, that take a few years to build, you know, like me working on a special and me working on a script, or even working on the podcast is a large goal because of the time it takes to book it and to promote it and to produce it. So it's exciting to, you know, achieve a large goal of mine, which is to be a part of this festival, especially after having been in this industry for so long. So just know that it takes time. If you're a comedian just starting out, or if you're anybody starting out in any industry, you know, whether it's cobbling shoes, pulling a Daniel Day-Lewis someplace, or doing a startup, a nonprofit, whatever your goal is in life, know that you gotta be in it for the long haul and to appreciate the little achievements along the way. And you might need to write those down to remind you how far you've come, which is what I've realized. You know, sometimes I get caught up in my day to day and I forget how much I've been through and what I've actually accomplished to get here. I almost discredit myself because I get too caught up in what's next. We get so caught up in what's next that we forget about what's been done. One of my favorite quotes or inspirational things that I heard is, don't forget that you used to want what you already have. And I think that's something you can say to yourself every single day and have some gratitude. I'm all about that Gary V gratitude mixed with a little bit of that Jim Quick brain functioning. And, you know, just realizing that you've accomplished so much up until this point for me. And so I've started journaling at nighttime what I accomplished in that day. And honestly, it makes me wake up and feel clear knowing that it's all good, baby, baby. I've done something with my life. I feel accomplished and I feel grateful and I feel present and I feel high. Do you guys want me here? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read you. I'm going to grab my journal here. What a nerd. I'm going to read you what I wrote last night. I don't remember because I was a little high and a little tequila drunk. Not too drunk. It takes me two drinks to get drunk these days. Let's see. This is from last night. I'll read you one from a couple nights ago so you can understand what I'm doing and what I'm writing down to sort of encapsulate the day. So this is from July 13th. What day is it today? It's the 19th. So this is over a week ago. Yeah, this is last Saturday. So this is about a week ago. And one, had breakfast alone. It was delicious. Okay, it already sounds like a fucking toddler's writing this, but just bear with me. Two, went hiking at Escondido Falls. Wanted to climb more, but Chris was a bitch. That's Chris McClure. I didn't write that, but that's he didn't want to climb up the hill. And rightfully so, because the dirt was loose. Because he was a douche. I'm just kidding, Chris. I love you. He was right for us not climbing up the entire mountain because it was dangerous. Three, let go of worry. That's an important one. Let go of worry. Worry doesn't help anyone, even though if you look at like a historical and just like a survival level, worry is a survival tactic. Being fear can help you survive. That's part of its purpose. But not letting worry overtake you, I think is what I mean there. Or maybe I just was scared going to sleep. Four, was sad about Dad. Who's going to walk me down the aisle? Wow, that took a turn. I'm not even engaged. Maybe I won't read these. I should have proofread this. Five, went to movies with Sarah. We saw Crawl. Crawl was delightful. You guys know I love my horror movies. Crawl is that one about the dinosaurs. Not the dinosaurs, well, alligators, which are basically living, you know, our modern dinosaur. And about the alligators, this girl and her dad get stuck in the basement when the levees break and there's like a hurricane that comes through Florida. And her dad have to survive these crocodiles or alligators. Is it alligators? Yes, Florida alligators. The special effects were so well done. It was a fun movie. It was like one of those movies that kind of feels like a ride. So go check it out. Six, was exhausted at night. The hike helped clear my noise. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard me talk about noise. It's something, it's a verbiage that I acquired from going to see my life coach. That's so LA. Fuck you. I'm working on myself. I'm not going to downplay what I'm doing, okay? And don't you call me a bitch because you're not doing shit in your life. Jesus, am I menstruating? Breck Costin is a life coach that I've worked with who I was actually introduced to from Chris McClure, my good friend Chris McClure. And also, initially I heard about Breck Costin from reading Bryan Cranston's autobiography, A Life in Parts, which is a great autobiography if you're a fan of his and or like to read autobiographies. Really well written. But Breck Costin talks about noise, and noise essentially is the core problem for a lot of people. Like, we all have our own core issues, and issues manifest themselves in noise in your mind, you know, anxiety. And what are your anxieties? And for me, because my brain works so fast on all cylinders all day long, the hike that I had earlier, number two that you guys heard, helped clear up that noise. And it sort of scrubbed the anxiety from my mind. So if you're somebody with a lot of anxiety, try a hike. And not one where you're just in your neighborhood. That's not a hike, okay? If you're wearing heels, you're not hiking. And let me tell you, I've seen bitches at Runyon Canyon and all these different places in LA who show up in heels. What are you doing? Stop, drop, and roll. Set yourself on fire, then stop, drop, and roll. Because you're not going to survive life. You got to challenge yourself. So I highly recommend getting high and going on a hike. And number seven, the last thing I wrote was, I feel determined. And, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to what you write. And this is something that my one of my good friends and just somebody else also does stand-up comedy as a podcaster. He's got a great podcast called Before You Kill Yourself. Sorry, I sneezed. I'm going to keep it in there. I normally edit those things out. I'm going to keep it in there. That's a lie. You guys have heard my farts before on here. Leo Flowers told me about this journaling that he's been doing. And there's really no rhyme or reason. It's just sort of what you did that day. So you can look back on what accomplishments and what tasks you got done, what goals you achieved, and also your emotions. I've just sort of been writing down my emotions and where I'm at and how I'm feeling. And it's a good gauge of the fluctuation in your mood, in your confidence and in vulnerabilities and where you're at. So check it. Just try it. Try and add it into your life. See how it does. Last night, I'll go through these quick before we get into the episode. One, I am so happy on stage. Two, I am a fun performer. Oh my God, I sound like a freaking idiot. Three, I feel a part of this comedy community and I am a peer. It's cheesy, but you know what? It takes a long time to sort of develop these emotions where you feel clear and calm and confident. Four, I want to step up my game. I want to own a home. That's my bigger life goal, is to be a homeowner. And I think within the next year or two, that will be achieved. Five, wish my dad could see me. Maybe he can. I wish I knew. You know, I remember writing this last night. I miss my dad every day, you know, and his passing has given me a new motivation that I didn't have before. It sort of has put everything in perspective for me. It's changed how I feel about my friendships, my relationships. My relationship with myself has changed. And I believe in silver linings. I believe in a light in through all of our darkness, and through that darkness of losing my father and going through that experience publicly, which I chose to do because I wanted people out there who are also experiencing that to not feel alone. You know, one of the biggest problems I think that people have, and maybe core issues of mental illness and depression and suicide, people feel alone and unheard. And I have a voice, so I'm going to use that to let people know they're not fucking alone. I don't care if that's cheesy, if that's like, oh, you know, you're a snowflake. Whatever the fuck you think it is, I don't give a shit. I'm using my voice for what I want to use it for and to let people know that we all go through this shit. And I really miss my dad. And I wish I knew if he could see me, but that's one of the mysteries of life. We don't know what happens after all of this. We don't know what the next thing is. And, you know, I got high a couple weeks ago and rewatched Contact. Great movie with Jodie Foster, Matthew McConaughey. It's about outer space. It's about our connection with life outside of Earth and death and grief. It's basically Jodie Foster's trying to talk to her alien dad. Her dad's in Mars and she's trying to text him. Okay. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm like, yo, dad, you up? Hey, yo, dad, you up? Where you at though? So I miss him. And anybody out there dealing with grief or in the Dead Dads Club, what up? Number six, Chaplin is the best travel dog. Yo, Chaplin is the greatest. I highly recommend, if you want a dog, get a shelter dog. All my dogs came from the shelter, and Chaplin right now, he's asleep on a pillow. I put a little wee-wee pad down. He came wee-wee pad trained. So if I'm busy during the day, he'll take a shit on that thing. He's like, all right, bitch, I'll shit on your napkin. I'll pee on it. But he also can go outside, and he's quiet and he loves everybody. So I just was appreciative of him last night. I must have been really high last night. These sound very emotional. And number seven, my gut hurts. I did have a little look. One thing that I did dumb last night, Andrew Schultz and I went and ate some Indian food, Spice Brothers, I think it's called. That shit was cold. first of all, eating warm Indian food is a gamble. You know, you're throwing dice at the table if you're eating warm Indian food, let alone hot Indian food. I ate cold Indian food last night, and my bunghole was not happy about it by the time I put my head to the pillow. So number seven is indicative of bad choices eating on the road. Andrew Schultz and I had some cold-ass Indian food. I wonder how he's doing today. Well, speaking about how people are doing, this next guest for this week's episode is an old, old dear friend of mine who has recently been married, and he has a lot of life changes going on for him. He's all grown up. He's a grown ass man. He's a hilarious comedian. One of my dearest friends. I hope you guys enjoy this episode of the Sharp Tongue Podcast with Mr. Chris Frangiola. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. We did it.
We did it?
We're here.
Ready to go?
Yeah. All right. We're ready to go. We're ready, willing, and able.
I'm ready.
Cheers. We're adults.
Oh, nice. Here we go.
I get my coffee.
So I have a little coffee. They told me today, the woman told me, she goes, you download the app. All the coffee's a dollar.
On 7-Eleven?
Yeah, you better believe it. I didn't do it. I still don't have the app, but I think I might get it.
That's a deal.
That's a fucking deal.
That's a deal.
I might have to get that app.
I make my coffee at home now because I feel like all the shit that I
what
put in it.
What type of coffee do you, what type of machine do you use?
A French press.
I don't like it.
You don't
it's
like French
too
press?
Too much business.
Talk right into that. When they, put that right in your face.
Are we ready to go?
Yeah.
when they put it down on my table, the French press, I'm like, what do I work here now? I feel like it's a lot of work. Just pour it out of a pot. I don't want to be pressing.
Or like those restaurants you go to where you cook your food.
I ain't French.
I'm not French.
I'm not French.
I am not a sous chef.
Mm-mm.
I'm not even putting pots and pans.
There's things where you cook. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't like that.
Or like they give you that like hot thing and you cook the meats like at the Korean barbecue.
You know another one I've noticed. You don't go to a lot of Broadway shows, but I go to a lot of Broadway shows.
Oh, I know you and do, now you what? Wish you were
yeah,
on
and
it.
Now oh my God, it's my one dream. And now that never. Well, actually, there's been a lot of dreams that haven't been achieved at this point. But they used to be just one. Now there's many.
Lot.
Yeah, yeah. And now every Broadway show, you have to be a part of it. You're sitting in the audience watching, and now at the end of the show, they'll come in the audience.
No.
And now you get up and dance,
no.
And you sing along, and I don't want that, because I didn't come here to that. Yeah.
That's like watching a horror movie and you're being murdered.
Now you're involved.
I
just want to watch.
Yeah, I just want to watch it, especially Broadway.
I really put on like I just want to watch vibe, and then it'll come my way. they could see that I just... Don't bother this guy.
He's it's in nothing. Your eyes.
Yeah, it's in my eyes.
It's
I know.
In your kinky boo
it's
eyes.
The same one you probably from growing, you know, being in New Yorker for many years. It's the one you learn on the subway. It's the don't you dare even look at me or talk to me.
You don't make eye contact for longer than like 2 seconds because either you want to fuck or you're going to die.
Right, right.
That's the law of the streets.
Kind of lives everywhere. Yeah, not only New York, LA, everywhere. Yeah, law of the streets.
When did your love of Broadway begin? Because like, you're from
New York, Long Island.
Ronkonkoma.
East End of Long Island. My love of Broadway, oh my God, you're very young, very young. I love it.
What was your
first
play you saw? Do you remember?
Three Guys Naked from the Waist Down. It was a Broadway show. It sounds worse than it was.
God, it sounds like a childhood trauma.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
It was a Broadway show about three guys trying to get on, comedians, trying to get on Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Really?
It was a musical. It was fantastic.
Do you remember who was in it?
Scott Bakula was in it.
Who?
Who's now?
Scott
yeah,
Bakula?
He's a big time star now. Oh. He's on one of those. He's been in. If you know him, you saw him. He's in a ton of stuff. a guy named John Cassier, who was a comedian that went on to be voices of a lot of cartoons. And then another guy I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what did you feel like when you saw that?
Oh, my God. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Minetta Lane Theater down in New York. Minetta yeah. Lane right down there.
Get your face in there.
And I went to, you know, I just went down there by myself. And, you know, I was like 15 years old. I used to go to the TDF, Theater Development Fund. They used to get tickets for 50% off.
Yeah.
They'd send them to you in the mail.
Yeah.
TDF's now called Tix. You maybe know it. And been to Times
yeah,
Square.
Yeah, all the tourists. Half price
tickets. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's what I did. That's like I continue to do it. I go to a lot of shows out here in Los Angeles, too.
What's good out here in Los Angeles?
Well, I'm a member of Pantages, which they do like a couple of plays a month.
Also sounds like a weird sex cult.
They do a couple plays a month. And then downtown LA, I go see. We make a day of it. You know, we go to dinner.
Yeah.
Then we go to the show. I just saw that Ain't Too Proud. The Temptations one was great.
That looks really good.
It was really good.
See, yeah. I don't know if I can sit through Broadway. I feel like I'm the only Broadway show I've ever seen. I've seen like two. I saw A West Side Story.
Okay,
which
good
is a
one.
Classic.
A classic.
Classic with my mom.
Yeah.
Honey, will you get off of me? And then I saw... Stamos.
Oh. Oh.
In Bye Bye Birdie.
Bye Bye Birdie, yeah.
He was fantastic.
Sure. He knows how to perform.
Yeah, with Gina Gershon.
Oh, wow. She was involved
yeah,
as well?
She was
oh,
involved.
That must have been toward the end of the run.
It
when
was
they
wild.
Get anyone to just sell some more tickets.
It yeah. was insane.
But John Stamos has done. I actually saw him years ago. I saw the Beach Boys in downtown LA.
Dream.
They were doing a benefit for like a school or something, and you know that's when he was involved in them. Stamos
playing
was
bongos,
drums, and all sorts of things.
He's on the side playing
but he's
bongos
also
shirtless.
Like he's also because they're all 80, and he's like also like the cheerleader of that.
Yeah.
He gets the crowd going.
He's
and,
a young heartthrob.
Yeah, right, and he's got to be 50 something now. So
yeah, he's definitely at least in his 50s.
Right,
have some respect.
Right. I know. I'm
tread
not.
Lightly.
I'm
you better
not,
tread lightly.
I do. I do tread lightly. I'm a little pissed off at him because I believe he stole a idea. It since got canceled, but he had a show called Grandfathered or something where
yeah,
he
with,
turns out
I
he
remember
was the
that.
Grandfather, unbeknownst to him, he was the grandfather of a girl, and that he wound up. And that was a plot line we did on Chelsea after Lately with me. So we did a whole episode where I was somebody's grandma, and the name of the episode was called Grandfathered.
Shut
and
the then fuck up.
3 months later,
there's
he
no
does the same show.
In Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's so weird because same thing happened to me where I had a life with him, and then he got married and had a life with somebody else. It's so weird how that happens.
Now, have you guys ever met each other?
Yes.
You have?
Actually, after
because he's
show,
like in the comedy world,
he's,
right?
He's friends with Jeff Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
Bob Saget.
Yeah.
And like I met him, the first time I met him was after the Bye Bye Birdie show. Oh my
oh,
God,
really?
What a nerd. I waited outside.
Yeah.
My friend at the time bought
that.
Tickets. Right?
I've done that. A
you
stage
that.
Door, yeah, it's
yeah,
great.
Stage door, and you just
it's
wait.
One of the beauties of Broadway. Mm-hmm. No matter how big a star you are, no matter who you are, you still have to walk out the same door everybody walks
yes.
out, and that's pretty cool.
It's part of the tradition.
That's it. That's
and
the
so
tradition.
He walked out, and there's a bunch of 30-year-old women and me.
Yeah, right.
And I just drudged up this like Greek phrase because you know
oh,
I dated
okay,
a couple
yeah.
Greek
Christos
guys.
Christos and Este?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, one of those, you know.
Yeah.
Echo Tre Arhidia. Mm-hmm. And so he walked, I don't know how he identifies, he walked down and I said some Greek stuff to him.
Yeah.
And I think I said I'm hungry.
In Greek?
Yeah. I think
yeah.
I said Thelona Phao Spiti Tora, which
that's
is like I want
to eat
now.
Hear. They love
that's
that.
All you
yeah.
to say.
Right.
What else do you need to say when you go into another country? Feed
no.
me.
Right.
And I meant his dick. And he was like, oh, I don't speak Greek.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool, you know? And then he was just like, oh, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Because I wasn't doing comedy at that time.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Oh, this is way back.
This is way back. This is like when I first moved to
yeah.
New York. And
so
then
you're
he
like
kept going.
A kid.
I was a child.
Yeah.
And then he kept going, and that was that. But we've met on Twitter and Instagram, and like we've, you know, he's responded to a bunch of my stuff.
Yeah.
And then he sent that really nice note about my dad after my dad
I remember
passed.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
well,
I mean,
he
we're
seems
basically
like a decent
married.
Guy. That is nice.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice guy.
I think he is a nice guy.
Good for him.
You're married.
I am.
What's changed for you? Like what?
Everything.
What if, were you scared about it?
Like, no, not at all.
No?
No, not one bit.
When did you know she was that she was the one?
Well, I'd love to say there was some romantic, but I was just old and done, tired. No, I mean, I'm not kidding. Like that's... That's really what it was. Like, I wish there was like a lightning bolt. Like, she's the one. I'm like, we both kind of looked at each other like, this is it, right? Like, we don't need to be doing this anymore.
I was old and done.
We both kind of were, you know? Oh, and it was one of those things where it's like, oh, let's just do it.
That's so funny.
And it was, and it's been great. It's been great.
She's great.
It's fun. We have a great time. We're, you know, we're good together. We both travel a lot separately.
And she's doing her thing.
She works for Netflix. She's a, you know, she's getting pretty high up at Netflix now. And so she travels all over the world for them, and I travel all over America for, you know, for shit. I mean, she goes
like a housewife.
She goes like gorgeous Amsterdam and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'm in Dayton for 3 nights and whatever. You know how it is.
How was the wedding?
Wedding was good.
Did you cry?
No. Well, yes, I cried at the whole thing. I cried at like seeing my friends there and stuff. Yeah. That was kind of fun, and I made it as small as I could possibly make it, but and she's from here, and so it was hard for her to do that, and she's Jewish, so that's fucking thing.
Those,
you know,
lines are hard to draw in the sand of who to invite, who not to.
It's very hard. It's very hard. I had no problem doing it. I was like, I'm just going to invite people that I've seen in the last year, you know, kind of.
I guess my invite got lost.
No, you know what? You were right on the edge. As a matter of fact, you were on the cusp. There was a few people on the cusp, and you were one of them, and then we decided... Liz is like, let's not invite people we fucked. And I was like, that's a good idea.
And I thought that, and I was like, you know what? Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Right.
That's
and totally I thought that was fair.
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
That's a good line to draw.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, I would have definitely, you were up there.
She was like, let's not people who've just, that we fucked. Anybody in your in the butt? No.
Right.
Nobody in the butt. Right.
So there was a, but you know, weddings are, they're over in no time, and you're just like, well, that was that.
Yeah. Were you able to like talk to people?
Yeah. The people I wanted to talk to, people come and they go, they're quick. Nobody wants to be there.
Yeah.
They're all like, oh Jesus, let's go. Let's wrap it up. So we made it real quick, and we had a great band. Thank God. That was the,
Who did you have?
We had this cover band.
That's fun.
Although they were amazing. They're absolutely amazing. God, I should say their name just to give them some sort of shout out.
Because
if you're, now I can't think of it. But if you're having, it'll come to me. If you're having like a wedding, these guys are just, they are called Decadent Decades. So they go through like all the decades.
Oh, that's
like
dope.
They play all 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
So, and they're just unbelievable.
Any
for
hip-hop?
A wedding. If you want it,
yeah,
they send you a list of all the songs they play, and you choose them.
So they
were great, and then they were going to wrap up at the end of the night, and they're like, if you guys want us to go for another hour, you know, we will for more money.
And you guys were like, yeah.
But like, even like my friend Carl, who's one of my buddy forever, he like
Carl.
Coughed up money and got them to play another hour.
Oh,
it was great.
Nice.
It was real fun. The whole thing was fun.
Carl's been in The Walking Dead.
He was in for two seasons. He had a very big part of The Walking Dead.
Part.
He got killed.
I remember I saw him and I texted you. I'm like, yo.
I know. He did
Carl's
really good.
Walking
He's a good
Dead.
Actor. He's a good actor. You know, one of those guys been knocking around forever in this business.
He's got great bars.
He does. He's very successful in the restaurant business. But now he gets all this work in the restaurant business and busting his ass. And now he's never been more successful in the acting business.
That's
he's got another show on CBS now. And
it's so strange because he was so... thick into the restaurant thing, and then the acting thing.
Harrison Ford's movie, Call of the Wild. He just finished that.
That's wild. His Laurel Tavern, right? Is it Laurel Tavern?
No, Laurel Tavern.
No, Laurel Tavern's one of your local spots.
That's one of my local spots. Across the street from Laurel Tavern is a place called the Black Market, and that's one of theirs. Black Market, and then he has a local peasant.
To one in
Sherman.
They're actually really delicious.
Fantastic!
Places.
They're great. Go.
So
check
if you're
them
ever
out.
In LA, go check them out for sure.
Shout it out.
Yeah. What about you? Have you gone out? Have you auditioned? When's the last time you went out on an audition?
Never. Nobody. Never. I never
really?
Auditioned. For
how did you get Chelsea lately?
I walked in to Chelsea Handler Calder.
Oh, that's right, because you know.
How'd you ever get any? How you get anything?
Oh, my friends.
Like, I've
friends.
Never gotten one job from an audition.
Yeah.
Have you?
No.
Well, you do it more than me, I
mean,
think.
I've gotten, I guess Girl Code was essentially an audition process, but all the other stuff, no. I mean, maybe one or two things. You audition 1,000 times and you
right.
maybe get one.
I'm
I
so
got a
bad
Nintendo
at
commercial.
It. I'm so bad at it.
I'm terrible.
I'm so bad.
Dude,
I think you're
so
better. Like
you
have more balls than me.
Thank
I don't
you.
Have balls like in real life. I have balls on stage, I think.
Yeah.
But in real life, I'm kind of like fucking. I'm nervous and shy.
Yeah, I can tell by the way you were walking down when I went to meet you. You just you weren't sure.
No,
it's like you just got raped.
Exactly. So
that you was, look like wounded. Yeah, wounded energy.
I'm never comfortable, especially in an audition room. I'm just brutal. Not comfortable that
I'm
way.
I'm never comfortable. It's an art in of itself, and like,
and the people who are good at it are the ones who book. I see it. And then I go to one. I went to one. God, now it's got to be a couple of years ago. It's the last one I've gone to.
What was it for?
It was for some fucking thing. Who knows? But and then you know, like mm-hmm. they all know the guy. The casting director knows. They all know. Yeah. They come to every day for another thing. So they're like, who's this guy?
Yeah, they're like, they're all shaking each other's hands. They're all,
and then Cranston comes in. I mean, not Bryan Cranston. Bryan, the fucking guy.
Favorite.
No, the one who's in Fighter and the Kid.
Callan.
Bryan Callan comes in, and this guy's doing jumping jacks. he's doing push-ups on the floor. He's got voices. And I'm like, oh, I'm not.
And that's how he says hello to everybody.
I know. And I like him. And then he goes into the room, and I can, just thin walls. I can hear what he's doing.
They're like,
and he's doing
Randrola.
A full-on shit, you know, whole thing, which is probably what you should
do. That's what you're supposed to book the room.
Exactly. I go
All
in.
All you have to do is book the room.
I stumble over three lines. I go home. I go back to the valet, get a nice lunch, and that'll be the end of it. Yeah. So
that's really what
I hate it too.
It's so grueling, and like even just the preparation
right.
that goes into it. And like for us, I don't know about you, but like 9 times out of 10 I'm on the road when I have to submit.
It always
even self tape.
A proper thing up on a pillow in the hotel room. It's so fucking embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. And like having people read for you, you like have to ask your opener or a friend who's on the road with you. And it's even that is weird.
Right.
Like, can I have to perform for this person and then for somebody else is gonna look at this tape? And essentially self taping is supposed to be the easy part of it.
Heather McDonald has a great story. She has, you know, sends in self tapes, whatever. And she says that she'll just order room service when the self-tape like email comes in. She'll order room service. Guy comes up, and then she has him do it after, you know, he delivers the food.
That's
and then tape
genius.
the tape.
That's self-tape. A really good idea.
Yeah, so you got him up there in the room already. You might as well
and
keep
then you get
him for
another. You get a snack after.
Yeah, you get a snack after. There's like a treat at the end of the. Honestly, I've given up on like acting. I don't think that's my ever been. I wish I was.
You're natural at it though. I've seen stuff that you've done.
I think
especially with Chelsea lately.
That's because I was comfortable in those surroundings. Yeah. You know? So I felt good doing it. I wish, honestly, looking back on things like that, I wish I took it more seriously.
Well, especially because you love Broadway. So you obviously have an inclination or at least an attraction to the dramatic aspect of it.
Yeah, but I wish I had. Like, there were people who I see people who are good at it, and I'm like, God, I wish I was better at it.
Who are some of your favorite actors? Like, on
screen? Oh my God, like, you know, honestly, there is no acting anymore. You're Iron Man or you're not. You know what I mean? Like I'm very upset
you're
by
right.
it because I'm like a movie fanatic. I love the movies and I love watching, you know, quality work. And,
yeah, you have a good taste in film.
Oh,
for sure.
Fuck. I mean, I love it. And, you know, actually, we were going to go to the movies last night and we couldn't find it. There's like nothing unless I want to see Toy Story 4, which nothing against Toy
I
Story 4.
I got high and saw it. It was great.
I'm sure it is. I love the Toy Story movies.
But it's a children's movie.
I want to see an adult fucking drama, which they don't do anymore because we've dumbed down the world so much with, you know, that's a story for another day, but why the world's gotten so dumb. And
that's next week's episode.
And because of that, everybody has to be in a superhero outfit, and there's nothing wrong with those.
I mean, those they serve a purpose, and now like the fact that genre is sort of crossing over the whitewashed version of it into a more realistic approach of having, you know, a multicolor cast.
Do yourself a favor and look at the Best Picture nominees of 1977. People probably don't even know who the hell they are. Well, no, these are movies that you're like, these are like five classic fucking
1977.
Movies. You got probably Jaws, you probably got Star Wars, you probably got, The Goodbye Girl, like adult dramas. It's amazing.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, this will be interesting. I think Star Wars might have been one of them. Now I'm probably.
Are we going for Oscars in 1977?
I'm saying the Best Picture nominees were probably unbelievable dramas about life.
Best
like Rain
Picture.
Man.
It was a, oh, it was, God, Rain Man
Rain Man was
so
released in the
good.
Summer. It was released in the summer. It was a big, huge hit where you went, you know, it made $300 million at the box. So if you released that now, you'd have to put the retort in a bat suit. You know what I mean? To get anyone to watch, you know?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Can't do a thing about a retard.
Are you ready? Taxi Driver.
Oh, unbelievable. Martin Scorsese, the greatest movie ever.
Rocky.
Thank you.
All the President's Men.
Oh, my God. Redford and Hoffman their best.
Network.
The greatest movie
Network.
Ever. It's on Broadway now. You can see it on Broadway with
Bound
Bryan Cranston.
Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory. It's a good movie.
Is it?
Yeah, it shouldn't have been in there.
It is interesting to see how things evolve and like where that arc is. Like, you know,
you couldn't make any of those movies today.
No,
not one of them.
Well, you could, but it'd be on the indie circuit.
It would be on Netflix.
It'd be on Netflix. Yeah. You're right. You wouldn't get people off their ass to go see that.
Absolutely.
You really wouldn't. And like you were talking about it before. What do you think? Because now that, you know, things are changing for you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is causing people to become so dumb? What worries you about it?
I don't know. I think we've emboldened the dumb. And, you know, whatever you want to say about the current administration, that's not my thing, political, you know. But there is definitely, he has definitely emboldened the dumb.
Yeah.
And that's great. They've all been there.
Everybody needs a team.
You know what? They've all been there, and now they got their guy. So they're like, "Oh, we got our guy, so we could fucking scream all we want." And blah blah blah. I notice it in comedy clubs. I notice it when I'm out on the road.
It has evolved for sure. I've noticed that.
Yeah, I notice it in places that, you know, whatever.
In places where I like to refer to that are further from the water. I think when you get to cities that are bigger, that are on the ocean, there's a connectivity to the rest of the world that intercontinental U.S. doesn't have.
I'm going to debunk your theory by simply saying I'm from Long Island, and you'll never meet a town of a island of more dumb motherfuckers in your life than those from Long Island.
Really?
And they are surrounded by water.
Yeah, and you're right near New York City, so maybe maybe that place is the exception to the rule.
It is the exception to the rule. Yeah. Oh no, and Ronkonkoma. Oh my God, for real. But the entire Long Island. Look at you. You're from. You're not
Syracuse.
Far from. You're in New York State.
Yeah, but the closest body of water in Syracuse is one of the most polluted lakes in the world.
Yeah, they have it.
Literally, that's a fact.
Right, right.
Onondaga Lake is literally, if you put your toe in it, it's going to come out looking like a lizard.
Yeah, so anyway, that's...
I mean, I definitely agree.
I think it's the phones. I think, and I'm as bad as anybody with this phone. I didn't used to be. I used to put my phone away and not all day. I didn't think about it. And then I'd pick it up, and it's not that long ago. Now I can't stop. I'm scrolling at stupid Instagram nonsense.
And for hours, have you looked at your screen time?
Oh, I don't even watch it.
I can't.
I don't watch it.
It's jarring.
It would be jarring.
It's like honestly a day's shift.
On the
phone.
No shit. I mean,
we're on the phone so much. Scientists, I read this article.
Yeah.
We're starting to
develop horns in the back of our neck.
A spike in our spine.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
To compensate for the where our heads are shifting.
I saw.
That's terrifying.
I know.
We used to lose a pinky because we were walking so much. Now we're growing one on our fucking...
You're growing two little horns on the back of your head because the head is always down.
It's always down.
It's so fucked up. You used to bartend. You bartended for many years. And before phones, you would sit and have a conversation with the bartender. You'd have lunch at their bar, your place, Puffy's or whatever. You would sit and have lunch at the bar, and then you would chat with the bartender. Yep. It would be kind of fun.
Talk about the neighborhood work and politics.
Right. All of it.
They don't do that now.
You don't even look up. If you don't sit at the far, you're on the
I'm
road.
Shook.
You're like me. You're on the road. So you have lunch by yourself a lot.
Always.
You find a bar.
Yep.
And if you sit on that phone and
you don't even notice
the fucking bartender. And they're on the phone.
She's on the phone.
Everybody's on the phone.
The one thing that has shook me when I really realize what's going on is like when you're out at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And all generations of the family are on the phone from the eldest to the youngest.
Yeah.
That's when you start to get like a Black Mirror moment.
This is but here's the thing. We're only 10 years into smartphones and... That's it. 10 years.
Damn.
And this is 10 years at this. I mean, 5 years ago it wasn't even this good, and now it's 10 years. So I don't know what's gonna happen. And I'm telling you, it's fucked up. It's really fucked up.
And especially just from a health level, what this puts out, we're not gonna know for another decade or so the effect that this has because it's in our pockets, it's on
everything.
Our head. like it could be causing ear cancer.
I'm sure it is.
Neurological issues.
The fucking whatever waves that are sending the messages to.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's going through somewhere.
The waves.
Yeah.
Dude, the waves are fucking.
Well, fortunately, I'll be dead in 10 years, so I hope all you horned fucking neck kids enjoy your life. Not going to any, not leaving the couch to go see Rain Man. I enjoy your horns, you fucking freaks. I don't like it at all. I'm upset I didn't get
that's my... That's the Chris Frangiola, I know.
Thank you for bringing up that audition from 2 years ago. Now I'm thinking how I flew that one.
Do you want some of this?
No. What is that?
It's my new Absolute Extracts vape. It's really smooth.
I don't smoke weed. I know. The last time I did it...
Oh, it was with me.
Was that your thing?
Yeah.
And I vowed never to do it again.
Because was a soft opening of the dispensary.
No. Not that.
It was some other weed
it
thing?
It was a 420 show at the lab in the middle of the daytime
at
the improv.
We did the 420 show at the lab, and you did a dab at the lab.
Did two.
Oh, you did two, and you two. Don't dab.
No, well, I think people were fucking with me.
And you came up in a three-piece suit at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You better believe it.
I love Chris Frangiola. He's the most professional comedian there is.
Until
you took two dabs.
Paralyzed myself. To the point where, I mean, it was scary.
You were on stage, and there was this girl in the audience who was there with two Italian tourists, and you told her she was going to die.
I think I was projecting that.
You're like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
You're going to travel to LA with two Italian tourists?
Josh Wolf was on the show as well, and I remember at one point I was sitting. You know, on a bar stool. I was melting into a bar stool in the back. And Josh looks at me and he goes, "You all right?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm not all right. Like, this is an out of... I'm not like a drug guy. I've never been... Not saying those are drugs. You know what I mean. But... And
They affect you.
Even like drinking. I've never gotten like crazy drunk or anything like that.
You're a level dude.
Yeah.
You're a dude who likes 2 feet on the ground.
Exactly. I don't like any out of control.
No, I know. You don't like
that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Two feet on the ground.
I don't like to do that too much either. But that day, you were definitely floating like a kite.
Like, honestly...
I looked at Travis, and I'm like, what did he do? He's like, a couple dabs. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
It was bad.
For me, dabs aren't fun. Like, I've done one
in
my whole life, and I was with Travis, my partner,
uh-huh.
and we were out for a walk because he said he needed to get me in nature to calm me down.
Yeah.
And so that resulted in me feeling the earth fold over me like a fucking taco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought the earth folded over me and I was the center of the earth. And then he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I am the core of it all, bro.
So what is it? What's it fucking with your mind or something? What's it doing?
The problem with the dab I did was that the resin, it was the freshest dab you could have. Like literally like eating a muffin that's still warm from the oven,
mm-hmm.
just pure THC oil. Like they extract it from the plant and it's so... It has such a high concentration of THC, depending on like the strain that you use, and it just affects you differently because of the process, how it's manufactured, how your endocannabinoid system receives it, and whatever you're experiencing with, you know, whether you smoke weed, whether you have a dab, anything that's sort of psychoactive like that with marijuana, it just reflects what's going on in your mind.
No, I disagree with that.
You do?
Well, yeah, because my endocannabs were fucked up. Like it wasn't reflecting anything I have in my mind.
It can bring out things that are kind of swept under the rug. And so if you have a panic attack, that sort of can mean that you've just been putting things aside.
That could be the case.
Yeah.
My one takeaway from the entire thing was I kept like reaching. I would take my hand and I was reaching like this. I kept like tapping a part of my back that I'd never touched before. Like, you know, there's one part of your back that nobody could touch.
Yeah, no one could touch it.
And I was trying to get to that. Like, that was...
What did you think was there?
I have no idea. A horn from reading my phone. I don't know. Like, I kept trying to reach back to do that. And I went across the street to that restaurant. I think it's gone now, but...
The Red.
It used to be a place called Red right across the street. And I sat in there, and I was like, I can't drive home. Like, this is bad.
Did you ever do drugs as a kid?
No, never. Nothing.
What was, like, the worst thing you did as a child? Do you remember, like, ever getting into some serious trouble?
No. I was never like that.
Yeah.
Never been my thing. You
good
know?
In school?
Good in school. Good, fine. Fine in school. You know, not good. Fine.
But they just haven't found the bodies yet, huh?
Yeah, like I'm better. I think I've played catch up a lot. I think I was dumb. I liked being dumb.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't like being dumb anymore.
I don't think you're not dumb.
No, certainly not. I don't think I'm dumb.
I think you just don't give a fuck about certain things.
I mean, it's more now than ever, you know? Don't you find that to be the case?
Oh, dude.
Like, God.
Well, I think it's when you experience any sort of like humbling life experience.
Which every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Or if you, you know, you get these milestones in your life, like getting married.
Yeah.
Your whole perspective changes and you're just like, fuck you.
I know. Yeah.
You start to shed people who you realize were not good in your life.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of fun when you go through stuff like that, like good or bad, like getting married or losing somebody.
Right.
It gives you this clear perspective.
But you're out. Like, I follow your shit. You're still, like, out. You leave the house and stuff.
I know. And I honestly, I've been leaving the house ever since my dad died, so I feel like I need to just stay in for a while.
Yeah. I mean,
been going so hard.
I look at your, like, people who leave the house, like you and some other people I know, like Fortune Feimster, man.
Oh, she's out.
Yeah,
she's having ice cream cones on every corner across the country.
Across the world.
She's in Italy. She's in Sorrento right now.
I know, but she literally went from Denver. I saw her, like, one day she was in Denver, next day she was in Italy. And I'm like, I'm tired. And then
going from Studio City to here.
Oh, my God. I was going to turn around. Yeah, it is. I don't know. More power to all of you guys who get out there
and do shit,
man.
I was saying, like, you've got a house now and you have a yard. You're excited about your yard.
I cannot wait. I'm like an old guinea. I just move shit around the yard. I just pick up like a bench and move it from one, and that's my day. Like, what'd you do today? And I make it sound. I make my wife sound like oh my God, what'd I do today? I retrieved the mail. Like, that was a big. That was, they put it in a box right in front of the house. I retrieved the mail. Like, I had to get in a horse and buggy and go get the mail at the end of the street. And then what else? I moved the bench from the back to the other side of the yard. She's like, that's it? Yes, that's it.
I'm exhausted. Yeah. Throw out a hip. How was Amsterdam?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I mean, the backyard is the greatest thing ever.
The one thing about you that is unique to you is your ability and your eye for interior design.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever met a dude who's as good at interior design.
I love it.
Who also doesn't take D up the B.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Jury's still out on it.
I'll say this. For true interior designers who actually go to school and are good at it, I'm just good at, like, stealing. I'm good at taking shit from Home Goods and making it look good. You know?
Really?
Kind of.
I don't think so, because I've been to your place and it looks like the inside of a magazine. Like, you have your own. You definitely have taste. Like,
well,
you
it's
definitely
not this fucking dump.
We're in a transitional period.
Oh, you are? Okay, all right. Yeah, because I was dying. I love that. We had a couple, I don't know, the earthquake. We had a couple earthquake a couple days ago. We had two.
I experienced it.
And it was just a bunch of people with shitty houses blaming the earthquake. I'm like, all right. You look like that before. Like, all my pictures are crooked. I'm like, they were crooked before. Don't be blaming your shit house on the earthquake.
I thought.
Not yours. I'm not, well, not yours.
I thought, like, literally around my house, around those couple days, I was telling this to Katie. I was also having a conversation with Whitney about it. I was like, you know, I've been asking for signs of my dad to come through in, like, this picture frame of him and I was knocked over, and, like, this picture on the fridge, and then his ring was out of the dish, and I think he's trying to communicate with me. And Whitney's like, there was also an earthquake. So maybe stuff just got shifted. Like, cool. Thanks.
You're supposed to let people have that.
Yeah.
You know? You're like,
so
just
it's
let
not
us
my dead dad.
That.
It's just platonic.
It's just the 7.1 out in San Bernardino did it.
Platonic? What are they called?
Yeah, it was
platonic. Teutonic.
It is teutonic, right?
I said
platonic. Isn't that what it's called when the...
Yeah. It's a platonic teutonic.
How's Whitney Cummings? What's her story?
She's great.
I follow her on her shit.
She's amazing. She's definitely my spirit animal for real.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, she's just, her and I have a lot of similarities.
I don't really know her. I mean, I know her, but I don't know her.
She loves you.
Oh, yeah, she's great. I think she's great.
Yeah, she's like, Chris is a good dude.
I've always liked her.
Yeah.
You know, she's a nice person.
I was like, Chris is a good dude. He might have murdered somebody, but
how can you
turn away from that smile?
There's been times where I would like to murder some people, but
is there anything like in your life that you've regretted or wished that you had approached differently?
Yeah. Everything. No, you know what I mean? Like, everything.
What about with your career? Is there anything that you wish you had done differently in the beginning?
I'm glad I achieved success, some success, whatever, later in life.
Why do you think you're happy it was later in life?
Because I just knew how to handle it. I mean, I saved my money. I didn't spend my money. I still have it. Thank God. Because
that's a success right there.
Oh, totally. And this shit, as you know, as we all know, it comes and goes.
It's cyclical. There's so many ebbs and flows with it.
And, hits. Like, I was on a hit. You were on a hit. Like, hits are fucking hard to come by. And
you think when you're in it, oh, this is it.
This is it.
I'm good. I'm good for at least 10 years.
So getting a hit like and like Chelsea Lately, being on that show for 8 years, a hit, that was that. I don't think it comes again. I really don't. Getting on 2 hits, 3 hits is fucking impossible.
It's almost impossible. And the energy to like keep going and to reinvent and to find new avenues of revenue.
Right.
That's also almost a nearly impossible task.
Yeah.
To just keep going.
Yeah.
What was like one of the greatest experiences you had that came out of the Chelsea Lately era? Like maybe somebody you met or maybe being able to go to a place you didn't think you'd travel to.
All that. I mean, I've been to all over the world, Australia, Tokyo, all through that show.
Yeah.
So that was great. And just, that show was just fun. We were just, I don't know if they make them like that anymore. We were just goofing off every day and it showed, we didn't take it too seriously. We didn't sit and write for 18 hours a day. We just wrote for, that was a dog.
Carlin just walked through your dream story.
Yeah. No, but it was fun to do.
It was like, it felt like
I do other
shit. It's destroying the set. Carlin, will you go? God, you're knocking.
Oh my God, now you go. Your tail's gone wild.
Carlin, go. Go with Katie. Go away from us. Christopher is telling us about the successes in his career.
Oh, we're not. But.
Will you go? You hear his tail. Look at you with those two dogs. The other two dogs are on her lap. Carlin, go. Back up, buddy.
Oh, he's listening.
See you later.
See ya.
Did you, the one thing that I loved about that show is that you guys, all your personalities were so tied into the sketches you did.
Yeah.
The style of the show. She really that show alone with all you guys almost put comedy back on the cool map, don't you think?
I hope so.
It helped.
Whitney was a big part of it. She was on our show a lot, and those people, I don't think there was. You weren't able to be yourself on TV once a week.
Yeah.
Like, and that show, a lot of times you could just be yourself, which was cool. I don't know if that's. I don't know if I'll credit. I guess I will. Chelsea Handler with that. It just kind of happened and she was just like, oh, fuck it. Like, I don't want to fight it.
Yeah.
It happened. I don't know if it was her idea. It just happened.
Yeah. And for me as a comedian watching, that's how we met.
Yeah.
And I met from...
We met before that.
No, I was doing stand-up. No, I was doing stand-up at that time. What about, is there anything that you want to do? Are you just because you're touring still now?
Oh yeah, I love it. The podcast has been fun.
I'm so happy you started a podcast.
I'm actually thoroughly enjoying it. I'll tell you this: I've never enjoyed stand up more. I'm enjoying the shit out of it. I just decided I don't give a fuck. I know I'm not gonna get the following some people have.
Right.
It's just not happening. I tried everything to get it. I don't know what do. Either people come or they don't. I show up that weekend at a club. And some nights they're there and some nights they're not,
I feel like you when I show up sometimes because I'll show up, if a show's at 8, I show up at 7:50.
Yeah.
Like, I show up right before the
Me
show.
Too.
I go on stage. I don't cause a problem.
Yeah. No problem.
Take care of the staff.
That's what I do.
I try and
that's why I'm still going.
Yeah.
I don't fucking sell out every night, so I'm certainly not that guy. But the only reason I'm still there is because if they look at 52 weeks, they got to fill 52 weeks,
Sell them.
So if they look at 52 weeks, go, oh, get him. He doesn't fucking cause any trouble.
Look at that pile.
Yeah. Shows up on time, doesn't cause any trouble, sells 14 tickets the entire weekend. But whatever. He's cheap and he doesn't cause a problem.
Are you still doing Juicy Scoop?
I am. I do it a lot. Once a month. I did it this week.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, she's got that following,
Heather,
they are wild.
I love when that sort of stuff happens because it's fun to see and hear from the agent side their perspective on a certain comedian or artist.
Right.
And what they think the artist's career path is going to end up like. And then seeing people like Heather and
it's
Josh.
It's the greatest. I know.
They both did their own thing and now they're like doing it.
Well, it's a thing that we just didn't have 5 years ago. Right. And there's a lot of guys doing, like, you know, Tony Hinchcliffe and those guys and you know, and Santino and all of those guys, like you, when we were coming up, not even that long ago,
yep.
and even me more so than you, you were beholden to waiting for an audition.
Yep.
That was it. There's no other way.
Instagram outlets.
No, none of that. YouTube or
idea of creating your
or
own
podcasts
content.
Or nothing.
The word content wasn't even in the zeitgeist of language.
No. So now that does. Now I love that you could circumvent agencies and everybody. You don't even need them.
No.
And I'm not saying some of them are great, but I never had proper representation. I never had anybody who, you know, kissed my ass the way I see some of these people, you know, fucking hanging out with their clients and shit. Like, I don't even know my agent doesn't even know my name. So I remember I called my agent one time.
They're like, we got to put Fortune out. You're I'm not Fortune.
My agent called me one time and he's like, I'll tell you a great agency story. We did the final Chelsea Lately, the last one, which was a big deal. We had a fucking every celebrity in the world.
I remember
was on
that.
It,
I
it
wanted to go so
huge
bad.
Huge final episode. 2 days later, I get an email. My agent sends out a tweet like, "Congratulations to my client Chris Frangiola on a great run." I'm like, "And good luck on tonight's show." And I'm like, "You know, it was 2 nights ago, right?" That ended. She goes, "Oh, I was watching it on DVR or something. I thought it was tonight." I'm like, "No, it was 2 nights ago."
Thanks. You can't even get the date right.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's like things like that.
Jeez.
That are just like. And then they call me and like, "You got an audition today." I'm like, "I'm in Des Moines." They're like, "You are?" I'm like, "Don't you know that?
Didn't you book this?"
Isn't it on a board somewhere in your fucking office?
I love when they book you like 3 weeks straight and then they start tacking on stuff. You're like, "Have you guys heard of sleep?"
Right.
Successful people don't sleep. Well, I'm pretty sure they do. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart and The Rock.
It's amazing.
And Whitney, I'm pretty sure they're taking naps.
Right.
I know for a fact that girl naps like 6 times a day.
Yeah.
They're getting sleep.
Oh, I do. I sleep.
God, right. I love a nice
nap. I love when people I go on the road. People are like, "What'd you see in Nashville?" Nothing. Didn't leave the hotel room.
You get out there.
Usually my second or third time through the city, I'll start getting out.
You have adjusted the way that I go on the road because I know that you will Yelp like the best brunch spot or the best coffee spot. Like you get out there.
Yeah.
Or at least you used to.
I
do that. Like I'm like, all right, I'm going to find the best
brunch
spot or find like, you know, get out there.
I found my first trip around 10 years ago, height of Chelsea Lately, my first trip around the clubs was real drunk looking for pussy.
Special title.
Yeah. That was my first trip around. Second trip around was hitting up the pussy that I'd found a couple years before that.
Seconds?
That was second trip around.
You did your own sloppy seconds?
Yeah.
Damn.
And less drunk. This time, now it's like going to museums.
Sober and naps. Midday museum
pre-show
nap.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still like for me, I'm probably on like the fourth trip around the country.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, every like 18 months or so you make that
you hit
the revolution
Chicago,
around.
He's in Chicago again.
Yeah, you do. You see so much of it when you're there cuz I mean, for me, I get out cuz if I stay in the hotel, that's when the demons start creeping in.
Right.
And it fucks with my performance.
Yeah.
But now like I think I've gone the reverse where I used to be scared and I'd stay in the hotel and now I'm out. Like
and
I'm
you,
out
and
in the
you
world.
Still out there solo? You're out there like
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, I bring friends now. Like Marty Caproni comes with me a lot.
Oh, we were with
Andrew
Marty.
Williams.
Yeah.
I'll bring them out with me just because I feel like I perform better when I have friends. And also, like, we go out. Like, last time, Marty and I, we were performing in, oh, God, where the heck were we? We were in Troy, New York at the Albany Funny Bone.
Yeah, sure.
Troy, New York is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I thought it was just like meth huts.
Right.
I thought it was just dirt roads and meth huts.
It is if you go, you know, like make a left. You know, if you stay right, like people always tell you, they're like, you know, it's really nice on this road. Walk one block further, it'll cut your throat. But stay.
Do you want bagels in like a cute, like little cafe spot?
Yeah.
Stay on this. It is like
that's
that.
What Dayton was like. Dayton's got a gorgeous old homes. And they're like $75,000. You can get like this unbelievable house with a wraparound porch. And
I mean, $75,000.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, this is no fucking around. Like, that's it. And then, but you walk one block over and you're dead in the street.
Shooting up heroin between
their toes. So.
And it's just, that's how it was like in Troy. And we got out, like we went kayaking.
Yeah.
We went kayaking on the Hudson River.
Oh yeah?
That was questionable.
But that's up further, right?
It is a little, but there still was floaty things, like questionable floaty things. But it was fun. Like I felt like such an adult. Marty and I kept saying we were naturing so hard.
Are you out now, currently on the road? I don't know. I used to keep up your schedule.
But I'm going to do that cross-country thing. Like, I'm doing JFL for July, and then I'm going to be driving cross-country again.
Oh, really?
It's going to be my third trip in my SUV with my dogs.
And do you stop at places?
Yeah, I stop wherever I feel like. There's this really cool spot. If you guys, you and the missus ever feel like getting out but not too far, there's this really cool place in Monroe, Utah, right off the 70. It's called Mystic Springs.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a place where meth was created, but beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, if meth weren't so trash, like mushrooms. Like, it looks like a magic mushroom oasis.
Okay.
This dude, his name is Magic Mike.
Magic Mushroom? Magic Mike?
I think he calls himself Magic Mike.
Like the stripper?
No, Mystic Mike. Magic Mike.
That's that movie.
I always call him Magic Mike. It's Mystic Mike, and he located this like natural hot springs in the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
And built these like natural bowls and like baths to catch the sulfur springs.
Okay.
And then built these like cool little huts to stay in, like these refurbished buses and like these log cabins.
I think I saw you post pictures of this.
It's now, so dope.
But I have to talk. Do I have to talk to people though?
See, my thing stay in your cabin and shoot up.
Okay. My fear is always when I go to something like that and there's a guy named Mystic Mike, I feel like I go down to the hot springs and I'm sitting in the hot springs and Mystic Mike comes down and then we're like chatting and he goes, "Hey, can I suck your dick?" I feel like that's always going. Is that weird that I feel like it's going to go that route?
I mean,
always?
That's how you pay.
Yeah.
That's the $50. So essentially,
I always
have
a fear that it's going to be some swinger party where, "Hey, which now we fuck your wife." I'm like, no, we didn't sign up for that.
But the natural springs.
We were just looking for a continental breakfast. We didn't want your dick in my face.
Yeah. It's enjoyable. I'll be doing that.
Okay.
And then
that's great.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is this a solo gig or are you Marty Caproni sitting in the back seat?
No, it's solo. Just me and the dogs. Carlin Peluso, back it up and go lay down. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Nice try. See, it's so great having shelter dogs. They're so not needy.
All right. I like that. Do you have a camp or just...
No, I'll Yelp.
Yelp. Hotel like, tonight.
Yeah, or I'll hotel tonight, which I also got from you. Little
Love
road
it.
Tricks.
Greatest thing ever.
I'll just find like the coolest city in that state.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I read about travelers is like the best and the smartest way to travel is to have... Not to really have a plan.
Oh, I never
because
do.
If you like set these places where you have to stay, then you give up the spontaneity aspect of driving cross country.
And is this you'll go to gigs throughout?
I'll have a couple gigs, but not too much because I like to take that, like, you know, August for us is kind of like a
dark, I have nothing in August.
Yeah, like I really don't have much in August, so I just take that time and I'll spend time with my family.
Yeah,
go there and hang out with my sister's kids and question if I'm going to procreate or not.
Are you? What do you think about that?
I'm going to freeze my eggs. I got to freeze them.
That's what everybody does.
I'm gonna freeze them.
Why not?
Fuck it. Like they're fresh now.
Yeah,
they won't be in 5 years.
Right.
You know they're going to be like.
Years. that was me. Like, wow.
To talk about Whitney again, we were talking about this yesterday and she said this and I felt the same. Like I didn't think about having children until my dad died.
Right.
And then I sort of saw the value in having, you know, it continue on. And she put it really beautifully. She's like, you know, I want to make somebody who looks like him. I want to like have a little bit of him. It's a way to just continue that
line.
And maybe it's some weird from whatever we're created.
And what does your sister have? Two now?
Two,
right?
Two, but they sound like 10.
I know. Well, that's it. That's just the way it goes. It's a lot.
Oh my God. My sister's daughter, my niece, is so insane. She'll look at you.
Yeah.
She looks like she has everything figured out. Have you ever been disarmed by a 2-year-old?
No. Yeah.
I was emotionally, physically, metaphysically disarmed by Karina.
Wow.
She just looks at you and she's like...
And that's the youngest? She's got a boy as well?
Yeah. Elliot, who I asked him... I asked him what he wants to be when he grows up, and he said a monster.
Well, you could achieve that. That's definitely a goal you can achieve.
You already got that one checked off the list, buddy.
Harvey Fierstein. No, not Harvey. Weinstein. Yeah, that's what his goal was to be.
But and he did it. With that Harvey Weinstein thing, don't you think that his camp should also be held accountable?
Of course.
The people who enable it? Why don't we hear about the little worker bees? Why don't we hear those names?
In some cases, those people just needed a check, and I got to understand that,
I mean, putting food on the table, but at the cost of,
I've enabled some stuff along the way myself, I've seen some show, I was like, what? I didn't know that,
We could do that?
Yeah. Cool. Like, I must admit, I've turned the other cheek on some things, nothing like that, but
I think
I've seen some shit.
People do, to a certain degree, but, I don't know, that whole, but then you also have to, look at the women and people. There has to be accountability on both sides, I think. Like with the whole Louis C.K. thing, Harvey Weinstein, I get the predatory aspect.
Right.
As a woman, I've definitely been in those scenarios.
Yeah.
But I also understand that I also have to armor myself with a certain attitude, a posture about myself so that I don't put myself in those scenarios.
Totally. But, I mean, I feel like, this is going back to the road. I was saying you go along because it is different for you guys. It's so just different.
Different.
It just is. Like it's everything scarier. About it. Totally. I mean, most of the hotels you stay in, the decent clubs are fine and all that.
You get nice hotels.
But even still, you don't know what fucking weirdos coming from the club.
All the information, the passing of emails, and everyone knows where you are.
Right, they know exactly where you are. They know when you're being dropped off at the fucking, at the Holiday Inn Express and whatever.
Katie could show you some of the messages that dudes send me.
Oh, man.
And she sends me a text like, I want to murder these dudes. I can't handle it.
I'll say, thank God, and I don't know who to thank for it. I would say my parents, but they didn't do a damn thing. Nice people.
Jerry?
Oh, they're the greatest. I mean, I love them. I mean, still going strong, great people, but they never did anything parental at all.
Oh, yeah.
We just found our way, fortunately.
Yep.
But I've never had that thing. I've never been
a scenario.
No, I never felt the need to
go, Carlin.
Be shitty to women.
Yeah, you've always been you're a respectful dude.
Yeah.
And I definitely, from my parents' perspective, Carlin, I'm talking about not getting raped. Can you go? My first sexual experience was rape. So that was my introduction into sex. Oh,
you should have told me that before we started.
I've talked about it on the podcast many times, but my parents didn't really armor me. We never had the sex talk. We didn't have the stranger danger talk.
No.
But
did anybody,
also
though?
Generational. I don't think so. I'm
definitely now.
Now they're having
I think generationally, I'm maybe even a different generation than you.
Yeah.
But.
At least by 50 years.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? I'm in a different world than you're in.
Yeah.
Age-wise. And
being a guy.
Yeah. And we didn't have to do any of that.
Did you ever?
Never.
I remember.
But I was also grew up in a family of boys. You grew up in girls.
Yeah, you grew up with all boys. And, your father had a man's job.
Yeah, man job.
You know, you had, a quintessential upbringing as far as what your mom's role is, your dad, how he worked, and then you having all of your brothers.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know if you have any experience of this, as a child, I have this vivid memory of when I was 8 or 9, coming out of my house with my friend Lindsay, and we're playing in the front yard, and this Caprice Classic, this white Caprice Classic pulls up, and the dude literally asked us if we wanted candy.
God, that's crazy.
I mean, that's out of a Law and Order SVU episode.
Right.
And I think I was like, no, we got some in the house. Do you want to come in? I think I invited him in the house.
Yeah.
No, my mom's got a whole bunch. We just got some.
Right.
Do you want to have a candy party? How did I not die? The guy just drove off.
Yeah.
I think I scared him. I think maybe my just coming back and one-upping him, bro, you
I don't
come to
find
my house?
The other thing, I don't find 8-year-olds that hot. You know what I mean? I've never been at that. Maybe that's another good thing. I don't see it at all.
But that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Those dudes think they're attracted to that.
And there's got to be a time in your life when you're one of those dudes.
Don't you fucking point at
me. No, you know what I mean? One of those, they realize it. All of a sudden, they're like, hey, I find that kid attract. Like, that's got to fuck you up.
That's got to fuck
you up. Thank God that's never been my thing.
They live in oblivion, and they're just stuck in that thinking it's normal.
Right.
They don't even have the revelation of this is fucked up. They're like, this is what I do.
That's a whole other
thing. This is how I like it.
Yeah.
I can't, like, I'm a pretty peaceful person, but that's the one thing that makes me want to, I think that I would probably physically assault somebody if I knew anybody who had been in that scenario. Like,
I know.
You know, we don't like kid fuckers.
I don't like it.
Tongue podcast.
And, you know, I just watched this great movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's Bo Burnham, who's a comedian and directed and wrote, I believe, this movie called Eighth Grade. And you should definitely.
Oh, I heard about
that. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
I want to watch that.
It's just like, it's basically through the eyes of a girl who's in eighth grade. And it's just eighth grade.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically the movie. It's eighth grade today. Like,
oh,
if
boy.
You had a kid, what's eighth grade? 11, 12, 12, 12?
It's a nightmare.
13,
dude,
maybe?
You're
oh, my God. I don't
you
know.
You got chimples.
Oh, God. I don't know what.
You kind of want sex, but you don't know how to do it.
And
you
all
make
the
out,
guy,
it's gross.
And it's the phone. Like, they all have the fucking
the
phone.
Phones.
So it's like, they're sending titty pictures and shit.
Oh,
like,
my God. In eighth grade. I'm so, that's like, I feel so fortunate that I grew up in the analog.
Right.
I grew up in a generation. We didn't have a computer.
No.
We didn't
have. I know.
We had like a stone and chisel. Like, we didn't have text messaging. We would yell out of the house.
Right.
Like, we didn't have any of that.
But I know. But the kids in this movie, and I think it's true, are like, send me, you know, a hot picture. And these are 13-year-olds.
Hot pictures?
Yeah.
I mean, what does a 13-year-old boy even know about what's hot?
But I guess, I'm thinking back to when I was 13, like, all I want to do is find like a Playboy magazine. So now Playboy magazine is could be sent, you know, you could look it up.
God.
It's right there.
Oh, man. I don't know what it's going to be like when I'm ready to pop a baby out.
Nah,
it's just going to be like virtual reality dick pics. Like, it just shows up.
Yeah.
It's like
airdrops right onto your face. All of a sudden you're getting teabagged by an airdrop. That ain't right. That ain't right. But here we are, you know?
That's a good joke. You should do that as a joke.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're getting teabagged by an AirDrop.
Well, they do. They,
what a nightmare.
I don't have AirDrop because I have a Samsung Galaxy.
Oh, you're
and,
one of those.
And
I wouldn't have had you on the podcast
but
had I known that.
But I've seen people get AirDrop, like, on a plane. I guess you could just throw the AirDrop out and it'll land on whoever's phone is open to AirDrop.
Yeah, you can toss it out.
So I was with Heather. Heather and I would go touring together, and Heather McDonald was sitting next to me, and Dick pick got airdropped right to her phone on the plane.
That's kind of hot. Was it from the pilot?
No, we don't know. We don't know who was. No, it was from a guy in the middle seat in the back, probably.
Was
pilot,
it you?
Pilot.
You're like,
yeah,
I'm going to send this to Heather.
Take a look. Yeah. Anyway.
You're a fucking delight, man. What? Before we get out of here, I'm going to ask you, because you've been in this, you've been doing stand-up for how long now?
Oh, my God.
I'm
a long
guess,
time.
I think you've been at it for 19 years.
No, 20, a little bit more than 20, I think. I don't know the date. You know
you
the date?
You, like, you,
you
don't
know
the
your
date.
Start date and stuff?
The comedians who know, like, the second. I
like, Jeff Ross recently posted something like, this is the 35th, you know, today.
The only reason,
I have no idea.
I know the exact date only because my boyfriend at the time filmed it, and my father came and visited, and I have a photo from that day. So there were, like, digital and, like, photographical moments to like isolate the time. I don't know if photographical is
a
word,
it was one of my, it's certainly not a word, not even close. But you added a bunch of letters to a word that already existed.
Absolute extract.
Yeah.
Adding letters to words.
I remember when I first met Jessie Mays, she was relatively new to stand up, very funny, but and on your this is going way back, and
yeah,
on your Facebook
for a long time.
A Facebook page, you had like every bar show she'd ever done on her.
I did have
and I told her, I said take your shit videos down.
He's helped me a lot.
I said you don't want people to watch your first performance ever. And it like literally one of them, the camera had fallen over on its side, you know, on a back table, and she had it on there like a side angle of her on stage at some shit bar and wherever.
Oh my God, I'm dying. I really did.
Yeah.
You honestly, like, you've definitely helped me. You've helped me refine my approach to comedy, to road life,
mm-hmm.
to just, you know, just overall how I exist as a human being in this career. So I appreciate you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
So is there anything on that note that you would say to comics starting out, maybe comics that are thinking about quitting? Like, is there any sort of a word of advice that you've given to yourself?
Well, if you're thinking about quitting, quit. I would say that. Quit. I would also say, you know, you're not as good as you think you are. And I would also think that if you're a road headliner like you and myself, and a lot of people are, I shouldn't say that. Not.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've done it, you know, ourselves, because we shit on all the time. Oh, the Chuckle Hut and blah, blah sucks right? And this and that. But I've recently decided that I'm going to say, it's fucking hard to be a road headliner.
It is
hard to take that act, that whatever hour you have, and make it, appeal to everybody.
Yep.
Not only fucking Omaha, it also appeals to San Diego,
yep,
and San Francisco.
Year after year.
And Miami, and da-da-da. And you find a way on a Thursday night to make it work, on a Saturday night make it work. And the guys who do it, you know, you, me, Wolf, oh, that's fucking good.
Yep.
And those guys who do the Comedy Store every night, not the good ones, not the Rogans and those guys, but the other dudes who are hanging around looking for get 7 minutes, that's not the way to go. You yep. need to be out
you
where
have to be we, out on the road.
Because that's eventually, that's what
there. That's your bread and butter.
That's always going to be there.
It's always going to be there. Always. That's where you make your money. That's
Look at
where you
Saget.
Get good.
Saget's out there still. Jeff Ross out there. They're still out there.
Wanda.
Yep. Everybody. Because you eventually have to go back and you have to have an hour that works in a fucking club night after night.
Yep.
And that's it.
Get
Find
out there
that
and
shit.
Fucking do it.
7 minutes at fucking doing roast battle ain't fucking doing it. You know what I mean? Like, that's a cadence that doesn't even work in the real world.
Right, you have to be able to take it on the road.
Being able to tell a guy how fat he is. You're so fat. Your mama's fat. Everybody fat. Like, that doesn't work in the
you're
real
world. You're going to offend a lot of America.
exactly. Yeah. Right? So, anyway.
Where can people find you?
What's your friends.
Come on,
my podcast is called Cover to Cover. Listen to my fucking podcast.
I'm so proud of you. You were so against podcasts.
I was
years.
Not against them. I just
you were
thought
like, I'm not doing a podcast.
I just thought there were so many, and you know,
what the fuck am I going to talk about?
I find a way.
Yeah, I was so happy to see you did Cover to Cover, and they can also hear you on Juicy Scoop.
Cover to Cover, I do Juicy Scoop once a month, and then I do my own Cover to Cover once a week. Thursdays I usually release them, and it's called Cover to Cover with
Chris Frangiola.
Find it in all the places you find podcasts, and then I'm on the road.
Where can they find your road dates?
Frangiola.com, I think, if it's updated. I'm Salt Lake City, Wise Guys, and 19th and 20th of July, and then all over the place.
Awesome. Well, I love you, brother.
I love you back. Always good to see you.
Yeah, you're
I
one of my favorites.
I don't see enough. You too.
Sorry about Carlin ruining your really soft story.
That's all right. That's all right, Carlin.
He's just abused.
You've been through a lot. Probably have Michael Vick throwing chicken bones at you for, you know, making you fight your brother or sister.
It's a hard
But look
story.
At you now.
Look at you're living the life.
Look at you now.
Too bad we're going to have to put you down for ruining the whole production.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.